Jennifer is going to share her last little nugget for 2018, so go for it.
All right, I'm going to read from 1 John 2, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. And this is the New King James Version. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked.
Yeah.
So I want you to kind of leave a thought with you. Let's start from the beginning. Adam and Eve. Mm. God walked. God walked with them. There was no sin, nothing that could separate Adam and Eve from our Heavenly Father. I mean, he was able to walk with them physically in the garden. And, of course, when sin set in and they made the decision that they made, it separated God from them. And it wasn't God's choice, it was their choice. But let's fast forward it to Jesus. Mm. God himself made that decision to leave heaven. And he came in and he walked among us. He loved us so much. He gave up everything to come down here to be able to give us everything. All right? And then I want to fast forward it to when Jesus, the reason why Jesus came, so that we could walk with our Heavenly Father yes. again. But this time it's so far better than when Adam and Eve had. Think about it. Not only is he has the ability when you let him to go inside of you and live there permanently, but he has given you not only the inside covered, but he's covered your outside too. I mean, he's given you the armor of God. So not only are you covered on the inside, you are covered on the outside. And you are given the rights and the ability, if you so choose, to walk like you were already living in heaven.
Amen.
So I'm going to tell you, as it says in verse, let me pull it up again. He who says he abides in you ought himself also to walk just as he walked. That's what he wants for us here, is for heaven to be on earth for us. So amen.
Amen. That's awesome. Praise God. Walk as he walked here on the earth. I'm telling you what, it's amazing, the life that God has given us. And so thank God for it. Well, right before I get into the Word, let me just share a couple of things with you. Next week, we're going to go ahead and just launch out in all kinds of exciting things for the first Sunday of 2019. So normally, I will wait till like the third week or so before I start talking about vision and plans, but there's just too much. It's just time. Let's just go for it, all right? We've had enough preparation this year that I'm excited to share what's been on our heart with regards to some of the things that's going to be going on and with what the Lord is saying for 2019. It's going to be a great year. Are you ready for a great year next year? Amen. Amen. I believe it'll be your best year yet. Amen. And so one of the things that we're going to do, and I've been talking about it, but I want to encourage you to let other people know as well, is first of all, is starting next Sunday. If you haven't gone through it, I strongly, highly suggest, recommend, we will be doing our second LOF Connect classes. We did our first one in October, and so we'll do them once a quarter. It's a four-week class that helps people learn more about the church. The first week's Discover, And we're talking about discovering God, discovering you, discovering who we are as a church. The second week is belong, and what that means to really connect and be a part of the body of Christ. Because the fact of the matter is, you can go to a small church, you can go to a large church, and you can feel like that you're doing your religious duty just by showing up on a Sunday morning, but yet you can still feel isolated and disconnected from the body. And Ephesians 4:16 tells us that we grow up together into Him, and it's based on the effectual working that in the measure of every part. You have something for the rest of the body. Isn't that exciting? You are not just a recipient, but you are also a giver. And so that's what the second week is about belonging, connecting, and how do you do that together? And then the third week is growing, and how do we grow in our gift? How do we learn what our gift is so that we can use that and grow in that for the benefit of the rest of the body? And then the fourth week is about thriving. It's thriving in your God-given destiny. It's you living out what God has put in you. And so that's going to be 4 weeks. LOF Connect starts at 9 o'clock next Sunday over here in the fellowship hall. And then at the end of that, we are going to be launching Care Leaders. And really what that is, just very simply, is it'll be kind of a group of people that will begin to connect with those that go through our LOF Connect classes to begin to build relationship, to begin to just help, you know, find out how can we serve you better, how can we pray for you. We find that sometimes when people are dealing with things or going through things in life, that they want to try to just do it on their own, and really they don't talk, they won't call us, or they won't let us know about that. You know, they just feel like that they've got to figure it out by themselves, and that's not what the body of Christ is about. The body of Christ is about us exhorting one another daily. That's what the Word of God says, that actually they met together daily, you know, to grow up in the foundation of the apostles' doctrine, and so there was they searched the Scriptures daily, and so there is a life that we live together in the kingdom. So I'm really, really excited about this, because this is going to be a way to help see people strengthened, to see people grow, and to really experience the fruit of walking in the Spirit in their lives. Amen. So that's next week. And then also next week at the end, we're going to be doing a baptism. I think we have one person signed up, so maybe a quick baptism. But if you're interested in being baptized, Jacob, have y'all had that class yet, or is it after the service? If you're interested in being baptized next Sunday morning, then there's a class right after the service. It's going to be right back here in this room, and to just go through what water baptism is and what it means, and so if you even think that you want to, I would suggest going to that, and the next week we'll do that at the end of the service. Amen. And I don't know, Jacob, did I have anything else to announce?
That was it.
Thank you, sir. All right, that's awesome. Okay, so this morning, being December the 30th, 2018, I really want to recap some things that the Lord started off saying at the beginning of this year. For this church, for us, and then I also want to begin to do a transition into 2019. And so as I was meditating on some things this morning, the Lord just really dropped some things in my heart for you. So I want to start with what God shared with me on November the 15th, 2017. In 2017, when I was at the Atlanta airport, and I've talked about this over and over and over again, so you know what's coming, but when I was at the Atlanta airport changing planes, as I was getting off of one, this word, I mean, God just in the middle of me getting off the plane started talking to me about the kingdom of God. And he said that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, enters into the earth through the hearts of men. The kingdom of God enters into the earth through the hearts of men. And I began to talk to him, Father, share with me, talk to me about what you're saying here. And so what he was talking about is that, you know, how Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. you know, and that this was to be the prayer. And so what he was talking about is Jesus came to establish a new kingdom. Jesus came to establish an eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. So that we were no longer have to be under sin's control, under Satan's control, under darkness's control. As a matter of fact, if you'll go over to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, Paul is talking about what Jesus himself told him to do. What was his assignment? Why did he appear to him on the road to Damascus? And so in Acts chapter 26, verse 16, Jesus said to Paul, "But rise, stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." Let me just encourage you that we are all called to be witnesses of the power of God, of the glory of God, of the kingdom of God, and that we are to witness, or we are to tell people what we are experiencing in our lives. A witness is somebody that has a first person experience. You're not speaking the gospel, or you're not telling people about a Jesus that you just read about in the Word of God. You're telling people about a Jesus that lives and reigns through you, that has set you free, that you've experienced His joy, that you've experienced His peace, that you've experienced salvation from. Amen. You are a witness of things that you've seen in God and of things that you're going to see. Praise God. And so he says, I did it for this reason. And he said in verse 17, delivering you from the people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Look at verse 18. This is so important. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Let's break it down for a moment. Let's pull that back up, please. Let's just break it down for just a moment. He says to open their eyes. To open their eyes. Our eyes, the world's eyes, need to be open to some truth. There is truth that exists. Jesus says, "I am the way. I am what? The truth. I am the life." But how many of you know there's a lot of Christians that's not experiencing the way of God in their life? They're not experiencing the truth of God in their life. They're not experiencing the life of God in their life. What God told me on that day, on November the 15th, He said, "Many of my children are still operating under the thoughts, the plans, the purposes, and the ways of the kingdom of darkness. They still allow themselves to be led by that way of thinking because that's the way we grew up, surrounded by our family, surrounded by our education system, surrounded by the course of this world." And he said, so a lot of people still, they receive the salvation message, but then they never walk in kingdom freedom. Amen. Amen. And so here he says that Paul was sent to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. That describes what repentance is right there. Repentance is a changing of your mind. It's a changing of the way that you think. It's a changing of the course of your life. You change the way you think, you change the way that you believe, you change what you look at, you change what you focus on, and then all of a sudden the course of your life changes. I like to think of it this way. Jennifer and I, we were going a direction. We were saved. We were born again. We believed in God. We were experiencing God to our limited understanding, but things weren't going well in our lives 8 years ago. God called me to pastor when I was not ready to pastor. God called me when I didn't have answers. God called me at a time in my life that I hadn't really witnessed the goodness of God in maybe a number of years. Would that be an accurate statement, Jennifer?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Which is the reason why I argued with God. No, 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 you don't want me. You don't want me at all. But he knew that by stepping in and saying yes to him, that he was going to be able to work in our lives and reveal himself to us in a measure that we never knew was possible, that we never knew just how good God was. And so we made a decision. We had to make a decision. The course of our life was going a particular direction. And so we discovered about the goodness of God. Not that we never thought of that God was good, but we just didn't know why we weren't experiencing his goodness. And so I believe this is a word for somebody this morning, that what we did is what changed is, instead of complaining and murmuring and being focused on our circumstances, can I talk to you about the joy of the Lord for just a moment? Can I talk to you that the kingdom isn't about what you eat, and it's not what about you drink, and it's not about your natural circumstances, that the kingdom of God, it says, is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there is a joy that we should be living in, that we should be experiencing, then, that is available to you as a believer, that 2019 should be a year of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can we just say that 2019 is a year of joy unspeakable and full of glory? There's a difference between joy and happiness. People are pursuing happiness. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what we look at. How can we be happy? Jennifer and I were not happy. And so people are pursuing happiness. Do you know that we stopped trying to pursue the things that would make us happy? Because what happens is when you get to that place, maybe you achieve that. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a new car. Maybe it's a new phone. Maybe it's a new thing. You know, there's always something that will make you, that's going to make me happy. That's going to make me happy. But when you get there, what happens? Now it's something else that's going to make you happy. The Bible says that the eyes of man, they are never satisfied. You look to something, you get that something, and guess what? As soon as you get it, now you're looking to something else. Because happiness doesn't come based on your circumstances. We're not looking for happiness. We're looking for joy. And joy is a fruit of walking in the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of walking in the Spirit. And so what Jennifer and I decided to do is we took the Word of God and we just decided that... oh, great. Sorry, I got a text from my sister, whose name is Joy. And she said, 2019, my year of joy. That's awesome. Oh, mine's the year of Mark. I'm going to mark great things that's going to happen this year. Praise God. Amen. So, where was I? Joy. We decided that we're going to believe the Word of God. He said, okay, I'm going to pause here on joy. Let me finish the scripture. I have an assignment. Let's get through it. To open their eyes to see something that's already there, so that they would witness it, so they would experience it, in order to turn them from darkness to light. When you see Jesus, the Bible says, as he is, what? So are we in this world. It also tells us that as we behold the glory of the Lord, as we look to him, 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that we are changed into that glory, or into that image, from glory to glory to glory. You know, when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, you ought to say, wow, you look awesome. You are amazing. You are a child of God. You are Jesus walking on the earth. You ought to get excited, you know, when you're going down the road and you look in the rearview mirror and you catch yourself. It's like, oh, yes, glory to God. There's Jesus living on the inside of that. That's the truth. You know how we just kind of try to make everything so religious and we try to separate ourselves from who God is, you know, in a sense, you know, yes, one day God will express himself through us. No, no, no. We decided just to believe that God was already in us, that he's living through us, that we've already been set free, and just to start living that way and to walking that way and to experiencing that. And what we found out is the experience of our life changed based on how we believed. In other words, my circumstances and my experience follows my believing. But the problem with most people is their believing follows their experience and their circumstances. They look at their job. Well, I wish I had a better job. Well, I just got laid off. Well, I don't know what's going to go on. And so your emotion, the way you feel, the way that you're talking is based on your situation around you. Child of God, God never intended it for it to be that way. God intended for you, it says that we have been made kings and priests unto our God. And what do kings do? They rule. How do they rule? They decree a thing, and it is established according to Job. In other words, we were never meant to be the tail that is just being wagged by our circumstances. We are supposed to be the head and not the tail, and that our circumstances follow us. Our circumstances line up with the king's decree in our life, that we must get into this mindset that we are no longer under the power of Satan. We're no longer under darkness's control. And so I no longer think that way. I no longer elevate my weakness. I no longer elevate my tendency to do this or make mistakes. No, I don't even think that way anymore, because that old man, that old nature was crucified with Christ. And now I firmly accept, firmly embrace with my heart the truth that I am a son of God. I have been adopted into the family. I am part of the kingdom. And so now I rule and I reign, not because of my authority, but because of his authority in and through me. Jesus wanted Paul to tell people this truth. You're no longer under Satan's power. You're now in the kingdom of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. Somebody say inheritance. Among those who are sanctified by me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read something that I wrote earlier this year. In Luke chapter 4:18, I didn't write that, but in Luke chapter 4:18, Jesus found the place that it was written concerning him and in Isaiah. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That was Jesus's ministry in action. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that Jesus is the expressed image of the Father. He told Philip, Philip said, "Show us the Father and it'll be good enough for us." And Jesus said, "Philip, you don't get it yet. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And so what we see is that Jesus showed up on the earth preaching, "Repent. Change your way. Change your thinking. It's time to think completely different. I'm telling you, for 2019, it's time to think differently, guys. Come on. It's time to expand your thinking. It's time to elevate our thinking here at Life of Faith Church to what God is seeing, to his purpose, to his vision for your life, for our lives." He has greater plans, greater ways, greater. So Jesus was saying, repent, think differently, turn, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And everywhere he walked, he laid hands on the sick. He demonstrated the kingdom. Darkness could not overtake him. Darkness, I don't care what situation you're in right now. Listen to me. Darkness is not more powerful than light. If we were to turn every light off here, and then I was just to hold up my cell phone, everybody would be able to see that. The light is more powerful than darkness. And so don't think of the power of God as something that you have to just work at and that would just be equal to the task. And, you know, Satan's going to attack you, but, you know, we're going to go through our Christian struggle and we're going to fight and we're going to war and we're going to do all these things. And God's going to come through, you know. And so we've allowed, not into our church, but the church in general, to, you know, it's about breakthrough. And breakthrough seems like, doesn't it just kind of give you this, the struggle mentality that I'm working and I'm trying to break through and I'm trying to get there and just break through and struggle. No, the Bible says that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Where darkness would try to abound, the light of the gospel of Christ, who Jesus is, much more abounds in my life. I don't care what heads my way. I don't care what situation I find myself in. Every situation is an opportunity for God to show himself strong. Instead of saying, why is this happening to me? Poor me. What's going on with me? See, you're letting your emotions be ruled by your situation. Turn that around. Let your situation be ruled by your faith. God said that he would lead me, that he would guide me, that he would never forsake me. Thank you, Father. So the king showed up. This is his declaration. This is his mission, to preach the gospel to the poor. Those that are poor don't have to be poor no more. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Wherever you've been hurt, wherever you think you've let God down. When we're not faithful, the Bible says God is still faithful. God loves you. God is ready at any point in your life. Listen to me. At any point, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if 2018 wasn't your best year. Doesn't matter if 2018 you thought, well, I wasn't as good of a Christian as I wanted to be. You know what? God doesn't look at your performance. God looks at the fact that you're a son, that you're a daughter, that he's a child. And the moment that you simply submit to the truth, this is what we're going to get into next year. My God, we are going to learn more about the truth of what the kingdom of heaven says about you. About what God has said about you. It is high time that we are the sons of God in manifestation here in the earth. And man, God's given me such a strategy for it for next year. It's going to be awesome. But I'll talk about that some next week. And so he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus is your source of healing. To proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind. What did he tell Paul? Open their eyes, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of our calling, to proclaim the acceptable year of God, that forever God has released you from judgment, released you from debt, that he accepts you unconditionally, right where you are, for who you are, and says, here, let me now help you come into your destiny. So this is what I wrote. I think that this is something that all of us can identify. I was poor, oppressed. The king came to lift me out of my beggar state. Love lifted me. No longer a pauper, now I'm royalty. No longer poor, now I'm rich. I was brokenhearted, hurt by others, abused by religion, taken advantage of. The king came and created a new heart within me. He healed the pain, the hurt. Where there was sadness, he filled it with joy. Where there was darkness, he brought the light. Where there was distrust, he gave me a new faith. Where there was despair, he gave me hope. Where there was hatred, he gave me love. Where there was death, he gave me life. Yes, the King healed my broken heart. I was captive. I was slave to sin, to Satan, to addiction, to sickness, to darkness. The King came. Think about it. A group of people enslaved. A King came and liberated me. He freed me from the cruel slave master of sin. He broke the chains of darkness and addiction. That which held me in bondage, he set me free from. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I was blind. I could not see God's grace. I could not see God's plan. I could not live God's life for me. I walked in darkness, stumbling over myself and others, making wrong decisions, even though I tried so hard to do right. Confusion reigned in my mind. So the King gave me new sight. He opened my eyes to see Him. Thank you, Jesus. To see the hope of His calling for me. He shows me new wonders every day. He shows me what has been freely given to me. He shows me a better way. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His life is the light of men. I was oppressed, so the King conquered my oppressor. I was forsaken and rejected by others. The King accepted me and told me I was chosen before the foundation of the world, and He declared to me an eternal jubilee in all debt has been forgiven. Amen. That's the power of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Yesterday, as I was praying here, as we were praying here at the church, just a reminder, we have prayer every Saturday at 9 o'clock. I would really say, hey, if you can be a part of it at least once a month, you should come. It is awesome. But as I was praying yesterday, the Lord began to talk to me about some things. So I want to give you kind of a prelude kind of some things and where we're going. One of the things that I began doing is I said, I thank you, Father. And this is just a way that we commune with Him. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for who you've created me to be. See, part of what your prayer time needs to be is in acknowledging what God has said about you. That's right. Acknowledging the truth that is declared about you. That needs to become a part of your daily devotion, if you will, your daily communication with God. See, prayer isn't about just asking God for things. God, I need this. God, I want this. That can be involved in prayer. The Bible says that in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But prayer is communion with God, and there has to be thanksgiving for what God has already done. In Philemon verse 6, I believe it says that the communication of your faith. Let's read this. Let's pull this up. Philemon, and there's only one chapter. So Philemon 1, verse 6. I'm going to wait for them to bring this up. This isn't one that they would normally go to. So that the sharing of your faith, look at this. How many of you would like for the sharing of your faith to become effective? Do you want that as you share with others, you want that to be effective, right? Well, check this out. The sharing of your faith will be effective how? By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, this means there has to be a change of mindset. You now have to get into the routine and the habit of acknowledging what's good in you through Christ Jesus. In other words, I have approached this sometimes wrongly. I have tried to identify, like if somebody says, well, you know, I'm just dealing with addiction, or I'm dealing with this, or I can never, you know, and sometimes I want to come down to their level and say, you know, I know exactly how you feel. I've struggled with this in my life. I've gone through this in my life, you know. And so what we want to do is we want to try to sometimes identify with them, make them feel like that we understand what they're going through and that sort of thing. But that's not what causes the sharing of your faith to be effective. You sympathizing with a person isn't what causes healing to come into their life. You feeling sorry for somebody and having compassion for somebody isn't what, or pitying them, isn't what sets them free. You coming alongside of them and just saying, I understand what you're going through and I'm going to pray for you, isn't what produces freedom in their life. You shall know the truth, and the truth that you know will make you free. And so what I need to start getting into a habit of is acknowledging every good thing which is in me in Christ Jesus. I say things sometimes that people think is very arrogant when I'm talking to them, when I tell them that because of an understanding that Christ really did save me and deliver me from sin. Because I had a question back years ago. Why do, if Jesus came to set me free from sin, why do Christians still struggle with it? If Jesus came to save humanity from sin, and it says he is able to save to the uttermost, then why is there as much divorce in the church, or why is there as much addiction in the church, or why does the church have the same statistics as the rest of the world? It should not be this way. So you have to come to, you know, if you want to be real honest about it. And here's the problem. Many people, Christians, so 2019 is going to be a year of truth as well. You got to be very honest about things. Don't just keep quoting a scripture without actually embracing that and begin looking at the fruit in your life. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. And if what I'm teaching and if what I'm preaching isn't producing fruit in the lives of people, then I need to be honest about that, right? But what we've seen is we've seen the fruit. We've seen the change. We've seen the victory. We've seen it happen in our lives. But I asked that question. For years, I would not ask the question. I didn't want to know the answer. Why do people still sin? Because part of that answer, I might, if I go down that rabbit hole, maybe I might discover that the word's not true. Maybe I might discover that what I grew up believing isn't true. Maybe I will discover maybe that Jesus doesn't even exist. So I wanted to protect my belief system by not asking the difficult questions. Can I tell you that the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, will absolutely stand the scrutiny that every hard question you could ask, that every question of doubt that you would try to throw at it, that the Word of God has the answer for anything that you're dealing with in your life. The world was created by the Word of God. The world consists by the Word of God. All things consist by Him. All things consist through Him. And do you think that God is afraid of your little question? God would love for people to ask the question and say, I want to step out of my boat, of the comfort of my belief system, of the comfort of my life, and find out, is God really real? Is God really there? Will God really uphold me like He said He would? Can I get to a place where I'm actually believing God, and that I'm not just, you know, I don't have my 401k as my backup, or I don't have my job as my backup, or I don't have my, that I can just go for what God says? What would that be like? Somebody says scary. But out in the place of the unknown is where the unknown God is discovered. Out in the place, we can so walk assuredly. And so, thank you, Lord. So that's what we did. So I'll say things, this is what we discovered. In one day, God set me free from sin when I discovered that sin had been destroyed, that He is able to save to the uttermost. I decided to believe what the Word of God said, regardless of what my situation looked like. I decided that when Romans chapter 6 says that shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not, because how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The language of the new covenant is the language of new identity. The language of the new covenant is the language of a new kingdom. It's the language of a new person. And if you try to read it through the lens of your old lifestyle, you'll never experience freedom. You'll never understand it. But if you'll start accepting the fact that you are a new creature, he that is in Christ, right, is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. Somebody say all things. All things are become new. When you accept that you are a new person, a new life, you are born again, and you have a new way to live, a new living way. Now, the Word of God becomes a discovery of truth in my life. And the moment that I mix faith with it, the moment I believe it, the moment I say yes to what this says, okay, you said my old nature was crucified, that the body of the sins of the flesh was destroyed. Doesn't feel that way. I don't act that way. But you know what? I'm going to choose to believe what you said, God, because what you said has been decreed throughout eternity, through the realms of heaven, and the moment that I will receive it, the kingdom, here it is, the kingdom of God, and what has been decreed in that kingdom, when I believe it, now guess what? It begins to reign in my life, through my heart, out of my heart flow the issues of life, and I begin to experience now what the King has declared about me. But as long as I continue to look at myself and look at my situation, then I'll continue to experience the way of the world and the way of darkness, and that's not what God wants. Amen. So, this is what God was telling to me yesterday. Thank you, Father. I said, thank you, Father. So we acknowledge every good thing that's in us, right? So what's good that's in you? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I have peace. I have joy. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I am love, walking in action. I have the love of God, but I am the love of God. Why? Because God is love, and He's made me in His image. See, I'm acknowledging what's good about me. Do you have anger issues? Don't look to that. Start acknowledging what's good about you. What's good is the one who is love lives through you. Are you dealing with sickness? What are you going to acknowledge? Not the sickness. I'm not acknowledging the sickness. Sickness is out there, wants to attack or whatever. What am I doing? I'm going to acknowledge the good that's in me. I've got the healer on the inside of me. I am healing walking. Healing is walking in me. Healing is walking through me. Amen. Healing is going to every area of my life. I'm really regretting wearing the sweater this morning. I am getting hot. Man. I was thanking the Holy Spirit yesterday about leading us into all truth. He leads us into truth that makes us free. Now get this. He leads us into truth that makes us free. What did He say? If you'll continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now the Holy Spirit has been given to us, He says, to lead us. He will guide us. He will lead us into all truth, right? So now life, walking in the Spirit, is a life of discovering more truth. Tomorrow, I get to discover more truth. And when I discover that truth, what does it produce in my life? More freedom. Like, I get more free. I get to enjoy more freedom, more freedom. I'm telling you, how many of you talk, if you looked at your natural situation, if you looked at what you went through over this last year, some of the things you had to deal with, how many of you could stand to experience a little more freedom in this next year? Now, I know that we are free, but how many of you want to experience that freedom? How many of you want to see freedom operate in your life to such a degree? How many of you could stand to experience more freedom in your finances? Okay, well, just a few. All right, the rest of you, I guess you're good. No, I'm going to ask the question again. How many of you could stand to experience more freedom in your finances? Well, how many of you could stand to experience more freedom in your body? Okay, maybe you start dancing a little bit more. I don't know what that looks like. How many of you could stand to experience more freedom in your relationships, in your family? Let the Holy Spirit lead you and to guide you into all truth. Let Him lead you and to guide you into all truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make us free. And so when I was praying, I just saw this path of light. I saw this road. I saw this road before each and every one of us. And so that as we follow the Holy Spirit, it's this road that we just experience more freedom. There's more and more freedom because we know more and more truth. And as I was looking at that, he took me to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. So 2018 has been a year of learning about the kingdom, letting the king rule in our life so that he can rule through our life. It's also a year, the Lord said this to me this morning as we go to the scripture, Hebrews 1, 9, of letting go of old to reach forth into new. You cannot receive something with hands that are already full. In other words, if you're still holding on to old thought patterns, see, a lot of times people are waiting for God to bless before they'll let go. And the fact of the matter is God has already blessed, so you need to let go. You can never receive with hands that are already full. And so what we should be doing is identifying areas in our life that we are holding on to that we need to open our hands so that we can turn right around and say, now, Father, I receive everything that you have for me, your call, your plan, your purpose for my life, your goodness for my life. Some of the reasons why we hold on to old things is we really don't believe that God's going to do great things in our life. We would rather rather hold on to that which we're comfortable about instead of reaching forth to that which is unknown that we don't have comfort about. I say we need to go for it. We need to go for the kingdom. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, it says this. Check this out. Talking about Jesus, this is a quote of Psalm 47. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Look at this. He says, because you have loved righteousness and you've hated lawlessness or evil doing, therefore, for this reason, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. What is he saying? He's really kind of giving us kind of a prescription here, if you want to see it for a moment, and that is the measure of the anointing in your life. The anointing of God, the Spirit of God, is given to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm just listening to something the Spirit of God is talking to me about. So, as the Spirit of God, as the anointing of God that He has given to you, is given to remove burdens and destroy yokes so that you can experience absolute freedom in your life. That's what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me. What did the anointing do? It was to preach the gospel to the poor. It was to deliver from poverty. It was to heal the brokenhearted. It was to preach deliverance to the captives, liberty, all of these things, the recovering of sight. The anointing on your life does these things. Okay? You're supposed to walk in this. But notice this. Remember how the Bible says that the Spirit of God was on Jesus without measure? Like the dude had it all. Right? Can we agree with that? There was nothing lacking in Jesus. Well, since Jesus is in you, there's nothing lacking in you. But here it says that because he loved righteousness, get the heart of Jesus. He loved doing the will of the Father. He loved what was right. He loved, his life was oriented. His thinking, what he said, how he walked, what he did was all about the Father. He's all about the Father. I don't want to do anything unless I see my Father do it. And he hated iniquity. He hated lawlessness. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that he hated iniquity? It doesn't mean that when he saw somebody committing sin that he hated them. He hated what iniquity was doing to people. He hated what sin did to people. He hated what darkness was doing to people. In other words, he didn't laugh with the dirty jokes because he understood that the dirty jokes was creating corruption in people's lives that was limiting them from being able to experience God's life. That when we go along with the things of the world, when we laugh at the things of the world, when we accept things of darkness, what we do is we now hinder the ability for the anointing of God to flow in our life. Because if we sow to our flesh, the Bible says we of the flesh will reap corruption. So he hated iniquity. So what did he do? He demonstrated that by getting rid of it everywhere he went. Sickness, leprosy, whatever happened, he laid hands on them and immediately it had to depart. Demonic spirits, cast them out with just his word. Everywhere he went, he was love walking. He was light walking. He was victory walking. He was righteousness walking. He was peace walking. He was deliverance walking. His name, Jesus, means Jehovah saves. The Lord saves. He was salvation and deliverance walking. And because this was his heart, because this, I mean, it wasn't that he was 90% for God. It wasn't that he was 50% for God. He was 100% about righteousness and the will of God. And wanting to see people set free from sin. And he's called the captain of our salvation. And because of this heart, look at it. The next thing says, because of this, I have anointed you with the oil of gladness, the oil of joy above your companions. Can I tell you that I believe that 2019 is also going to be a year of righteousness, but a year where the anointing of God, the power of God, the glory of God, an understanding of the four dimensions of the love of God, to where it says in Ephesians 3 that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Listen to me. It says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up because we're going to get ready to do something as we end the year here and as we move. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And to the degree that you pursue righteousness, here's a word, to the degree that you seek after righteousness, he is righteousness, but he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do you want to experience more in life? Everything will be added because it comes out of the kingdom. I want to, while they come up here, give you just a quick testimony. Claudia, can I get you to come up here for just a moment with your little one? Is that okay? This is impromptu. I just want to share a truth, and we'll do something more in depth later on. And Todd, if you want to bring all your family up, that's cool too. That'd be awesome. That's a we'll see. Guys, you're going to be so blessed by this. So this is Todd and Claudia Gibson, and they're beautiful. They live in Pennsylvania, and Claudia is Rafa's sister, and so we're glad to have them with us today. And so, do you want to share for just a moment what the Lord's done? Do you think you can? Or do you want me to? How long do we have? She says. Just a few minutes, because this here is a miracle child. But this beautiful daughters of there came as a result of some of the things that I'm sharing with you this morning. Okay, I'm making a decision to believe God and to connect with Him. So just share your journey just a little bit, please. Okay, give him the baby. She is out. How you guys doing? You good? Awesome.
You're on stage. Wake up.
Yeah. Oh.
Hello. Can you hear me? Okay. We met Pastor Mark around 2016, I think it was, and we had lost a baby in our second trimester, a few months before we met him. And we knew in our hearts that we wanted another child, and we asked him to pray for us. And at the end of 2016, we got pregnant. And at that point, we had been seeking God and discovering all the truths that I think everybody here has been discovering and very excited about it. So we were very excited about this pregnancy. And at my 17th week, I started to bleed, and I knew that it was not God's will. I didn't know what was happening. I went to the doctors, and they confirmed that there was no heartbeat. And I called Pastor Mark, and as I've been meditating on that, I felt like the disciples on the boat. Save me, because I'm drowning, and I don't know what to do. And I called Pastor Mark and Jennifer, and they, as you know, so loving and so gracious, supported us, and they agreed that it wasn't God's will, and we prayed. But I think at that point, I was still a lot about the burden of receiving on me. How do I make this happen? Mm-hmm. And I almost was reaching out to them to help me make it happen. But I didn't really have a confidence in my heart, even though I was trying to believe. And we went to the doctors, and, you know, we waited a few days, and still no heartbeat. And they were recommending that we have the procedure done to remove the baby, because it's dangerous. It was my second trimester already, and, you know, they read you all the negative things that can happen and how complicated it can be. And I really didn't want to have to go through with that. And, you know, after praying with Pastor Mark and Jennifer and everything, and my husband, the voice of reason, always. I accepted it, and we were going to go to the hospital to do the procedure. But again, there's Jesus on the boat, and no matter what, His grace is there. And at the moment that I accepted it, it was right there at home. I started to miscarry the baby, and I really didn't want to go to the hospital to have this procedure done. So it was a blessing in that sense. And
well, there was a word that the Lord had in the middle of all of that, we were praying, and I just, the word that the Lord had given me is, He said, be still.
Yes.
And know that I am God.
When that started to happen, we called you.
Yeah.
And that's what He told me. And when He said that, I truly did have a peace come over me, and the entire thing happened completely pain-free. I had no pain, very minimal bleeding, and I passed the baby peacefully at home with God, with us, and there were no complications. We went to the hospital, and I was fine, and I've met people personally, actually, after that had a miscarriage even earlier than I did, and they had complications, and they were weeks. They had to go to the hospital, infections, so I know God, still His grace was with us. And after that, we weren't sure if we wanted to go through that for a third time. But Psalms 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And this desire did not go away. So, but this time I resolved in my heart, you know, you analyze what happened, and I was looking without and not within. And I said, this time I'm going to listen to you, to the Holy Spirit, to lead me and guide me what I should be doing. Mm. And I also had to resolve in my heart that I am complete in Christ, that having another child doesn't define me as a mother or as a woman or as a person. Christ defines who I am, and I'm going to rejoice in my purpose and rejoice in what you've given me already. And like you said, I'm not going to focus on these things. And every time, you know how it is, every woman here, you see a pregnant woman and you think, and why not me? And I'm not going to think that. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to be a mother to these children and a wife and enjoy it and walk out your purpose for me. And thank you that your promise is there, that it still says that I will not be barren, that I will not miscarry. All of that is still true. It hasn't changed. And that's what I just kept doing, renewing my mind with that. And 5 months later, I was pregnant again. And I said, if I need prayer, you will send me somebody to pray for me. And also at the Grace Conference, I don't want to go into details, but there was a word that I received from Rob Rufus about a woman that had had 2 miscarriages and had 3 children, and she was going to conceive again, so that helped me as well. But it was funny, when I was almost 10 weeks pregnant, somebody from Andrew Womack Ministries called me. No one had ever called me before or since, and they asked if I needed prayer. And I said, yes, I have had 2 miscarriages and I'm pregnant now and I want this pregnancy to go through. And I remember he said, I cancel the plans of the enemy. And that was that. And the next day after that call, I started bleeding profusely at 10 weeks of pregnancy. And of course, I didn't know what was happening, but I prayed. I called my husband who was at a work function. He came home, we prayed, and I said, I'm not going to go to the doctor, I'm not going to call the doctor, I'm just going to follow whatever I feel in my heart that the Lord is leading me to do. And Todd supported me with that. And I was not feeling pregnant anymore. The symptoms of pregnancy weren't there anymore, but I just kept saying, I don't feel pregnant, but your word is still true. Mm. And sometimes fear would try to come because you don't know what's happening, and we would pray, and I would calm down. And eventually, when I was almost 12 weeks, I said, well, if I was pregnant, I would go to the doctor for my first prenatal appointment. So that's what I did. I made an appointment. And when I went, I told the nurse, this happened a few weeks ago. She's like, you've been bleeding for 3 weeks, and you never said anything to anybody. And I also would go on walks with them. You know, if something like that happens, you're supposed to rest. But I said, if I am okay, I'm just going to go on with my life. And anyway, I got a blood test. I definitely was pregnant, and I had had a hemorrhage, but it had healed. It was almost completely healed.
Wow.
And she was born with no complications, perfectly beautiful, and we learned it's a journey and we're always learning, but we learned to say, I'm going to follow what you tell me to do. And like you said, step out in the open, because the safety net is, let me go to the doctor. But they really don't have very many answers. And it's not that it's wrong to ask for prayer. It's not that it's wrong to go to the doctor, but we have to look inside of us first and trust that we have that Spirit to guide us and tell us what decision to make.
Amen.
She wants to say something.
Bye, people.
So thank you. That's I hope awesome. I didn't take too long. Thank you. And
amen. It's awesome.
I want to thank everybody here for how you love my brother, because we can't be close to him, but you don't know how much it blesses us that he is loved, and that is the gospel. It's not amazing, wonderful things. It's you picked him up and you brought him here and you gave him a hug. That's love. That's the gospel. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you, guys. This is awesome. You know, one of the things, I love y'all so much. Yeah, man. Did you want to say anything, Todd?
It's like our marriage. He says everything. I don't need to say anything. Thanks for all your prayers.
Yeah.
Thank you so
awesome.
Much.
Awesome.
Yeah. This is our victory right here. That's right.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. It's one of the things that was amazing to me is last year around Christmas time, Claudia called to wish us Merry Christmas. She goes, oh, by the way, I'm 20 weeks pregnant. I said, what? Because the time before, you know, she would call for prayer and that sort of thing. Well, the journey for her was she analyzed why was it that she was calling Pastor Mark and Pastor Jennifer. She recognized that it was because she was in fear. And so she wanted, and it's okay to call people to help, to get help and pray for, not saying not to, but what she wanted to do this time, she said, Jesus, this time it's me and you. I'm going to just trust you. She moved to this place of total trust and being led by him, and that's what it's about. That's the win. That's what we want, is that Jesus is such a personal Savior, such a personal Lord. I want to ask you guys to stand with me, because what we're going to do, you know what, hand me that microphone, I'll use it. Guys, I'm going to use the handheld. I want to read a couple of scriptures as we leave out of 2018 and into 2019. Thank you, Father. Somebody shout joy. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I want to read this. You need to make joy a habit.
That's right.
If it makes you happy, do it, is the mantra of our generation. But I'm not interested in a lifestyle where happiness is my pursuit. I don't pursue happiness. I don't pursue pleasure. I pursue God, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. So what do I need to be seeking? Wisdom. And the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. The more pleasure you get addicted to, the more pleasure you need. You get your kicks from pleasure, and then pleasure kicks back with depression, suicide, and broken relationships. Pleasure is not our God. Joy is not meant to be temporary. There is a joy that comes from God, that God alone that sustains, heals, and renews. And so it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest. We will rest, or he will rest in his love, and he will joy over you with singing. Mark chapter 4 verse 16 says that we are to receive the word with joy. And so Jesus spoke the word to create joy in those that heard. He said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. And so we need to have a lifestyle that we make joy a habit. Living in the Spirit allows joy to flow. There's a river that flows. And so the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Somebody say, rejoice in the Lord always. What are we rejoicing? Because we're acknowledging the good things that are in us. We're acknowledging what Jesus has done for us. We're acknowledging who He is. We're looking to Him. Colossians chapter 3 says, since our life is in Christ, since we've been risen with Him, set your affections on things that are above. And so what I want to do to end this service, right before we sing, I'm going to pray with you concerning your giving. I'm going to pray with you concerning 2019. And then we're going to finish with this song. But I want you to rejoice. Rejoice in a way that you've never rejoiced before. Rejoice, not because of 2018 and not because of that, but rejoice in what God has done for you 2,000 years ago. Rejoice because you have been set free. Rejoice because you're not going to be healed, but you are healed. If you're hurt, if you're broken, rejoice because you're receiving healing and saying, I am now whole. I am now complete in Him. I'm rejoicing in you, Father. I rejoice in everything. It's a command for us to do. And as you rejoice, your emotions will catch up. Your circumstances will catch up. We can rejoice in that God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing.